what it looks like to be the people of God on a mission and hopefully taking it further to be more practical today, which will come on to my little box at the end for you to do something as a result of what you've heard. Now, I've spoken a lot about what the church could look like. I've spoken about us together, us individually. Today, we'll be looking specifically, although I wanted to, in my mind, talk about how as a church we can do great things, put an event on, put this on, put that on. But the more I got into it, the more I just felt God gave me three things to talk about today, and that is, number one, we're chosen by God. Number two, we're called to love God. And number three, we're called to love each other. And in that, hopefully we'll see how we can transform the lives of those around us here, in our workplace, on the school playground. And it's to do with us loving. And love is the key. And I'd love to have a tactical plan. I'd love to say, as Grace Church, we're going to lead you because we are going to go and do this. And you can come with us and we're going to do that. And you can come with us. But actually, I really felt the emphasis today is going to be put on you. What are you going to do in order to put the church on the front foot and taking Jesus to places where we are, not somebody else can do it and we'll follow. There's a challenge today. We're a community of believers. Those have accepted Jesus as their leader. So we should always maintain that focus that actually Jesus is with us. When people look at us, we are the first introduction to Jesus. And I've said it before, but that's the reality. If you're saying, how can I take Jesus to my workplace? Well, actually, when you walk through those doors, Jesus is there. And what you look like is how people will see Jesus in their place. But love is the key. So the first thing I've just put, and it's a short note because I did speak on it, predestination, but chosen by God. Ephesians 1 verse 5. I was told to pick something from the first half of Ephesians. This is my only link to Ephesians, but I have managed to do it. It says, in love, he predestined us for adoption through Christ Jesus. In love. And that's where we start. In love, God has predestined. God has chosen us. God has wanted us. God has desired relationship with us. God chose to send Jesus. And the key for this again, and I don't apologize for reiterating this, is the fact that God chose us. There is nothing that we did that enabled us to have relationship with God. When God was there and we were separated from him, he chose to send Jesus who died on the cross. At that point, nothing that man did other than put him on the cross contributed to the fact that when he rose again, he provided a way for us to be able to have direct access to God. And that is, as Christians, how we stand together, not in our own skills or abilities, but in the reality that Jesus, who hung on a cross, rose again, then went to heaven to seat at his Father's right hand side, has now paved the way, made a way for us to be able to have relationship with God with no need for priests. We now have Jesus and we can pray and talk and hear from God. It's a level playing field. So we stand here together, level as one. God is love. Therefore, his church should reflect that. And these are the next two points that we're going to look at. So we're chosen by God in love. If God is a God of love, his church should be a church that represents that and shows love. Now it says in the Bible, the great commandment, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. He said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Two top tips, greatest commandment. God said, love God, love your neighbor. And this is what we're going to look at today. And God's saying to you today, to me, all week, do you love me? Do you love me? What does that look like though? Because I was looking at love. It says love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't envy, is not proud. But in relation to God and not holding, you know, burdens against people, holding things against people, with God we can't actually do that. So a love to love God must look slightly differently. But we're going to look at love to start with, and 1 Corinthians 13 is a verse that we're familiar with, whether it be at weddings or anything. But we'll start start there. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, but it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So, how do we love God? Well, the only way I can talk about that is really from experience, and actions will follow love. If you love something, then there will generally be an action that will follow. I love Southampton Football Club. We're going to start there. Mighty of the South, and I follow them. So what do? Because I love the football club in a broad sense, I will go and watch them. I will cheer. I will sing. I will cry. I will talk about them to my friends. This year, it was a proud moment. I took Josh down to St Mary's, which is where Southampton play. He watched his first game with me. Now you're a man, son. You've seen the Saints at their own ground. There's something in me that just wanted him to be part of that, because that is something that is dear to me. Now, this is no particular order. My wife. I meant to say that at the beginning, but please don't comment, Sal. Just let me roll with this. Okay, if I love my wife, okay, there will be actions that follow that, because words and love, and there are times, I guess, when you could say I choose to love, but actually, when you are in love with someone or something, actions are just a response to that. So with Sally, when I am in love and in God and not being of myself, I would hope that I serve and encourage her. I treat her well. I talk about her to my friends, to people that I'm with. I'll put her, if she's been good, I might even take her out with me. But she's in my life. I wouldn't not talk about her. It's like your kids, but we're talking about, I wouldn't talk about her to other people because she is so part of me now that I could not imagine her not being there. So there's something in it that I would take her with me to play. I would introduce her to people because this is part of who I am. This is my wife, Sally. And I would introduce her. So when you come on to God, and you think about that level of relationship, actually, it's the same concept, and he obviously uses the wedding as a picture, that actually when you're with God, and he is part of your life, you will take him wherever you go. You will talk about him wherever you are. You will introduce people to Jesus wherever you go, because with me, it's Jesus. So as much as I would talk about Sally, it's a strong relationship, if not stronger, that I have with Jesus, because he accepts me all the time and will never leave me or forsake me. So as part of my being, if I'm in love with God, I cannot help but talk about him, because he goes with me. He is my friend, my saviour, and my lover, and his relationship and desire for that is deep. So therefore, I would introduce him to people. Now this is an interesting one. If you go back to loving God and the whole thing about actually I love God with all that I am, it sounds like it's between you and God. But if you follow the logical steps through loving God effectively, you are talking to people about God because you love him. And it starts as an individual thing and you think, well, that's not mission. If you follow it through to its conclusion of what it is to love someone or something, and we love God, then it leads only one way, and that is to talk about him because of the good things that he's done and because of what he's done for us. And it's exciting. So if we did that to our fullest extent, that would probably be enough to get hold of today and say, okay, that's fine, let's stick with that. Let's just actually say, God, I want to be in love with you so that I have the freedom to talk about you and be a person that would really honor him. But there's going to be more. So even stopping at loving God would be enough. But actually God has also said we should love one another. And that's followed in the same verse that we read earlier. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. So I'm in love with God. I'm talking to God. God is with me, so therefore I take God wherever I go. But what do I do with that? How does that affect my life? How do I relate to others? Now, when it says your neighbour, often I think of people that are literally my neighbour or people at work or that kind of thing. But actually, I'm going to take this much more broadly, because I think as Christians, we tend to sit in two boats. We've got Christians and people that aren't Christians. And there's like a different way that we act when we're around one and around the other. Well, actually, that isn't a biblical model of living a life that follows Jesus, because he wasn't different around different groups of people. He was Jesus, and he spoke the words of God wherever he was. It says you love your neighbour as yourself. And I said, what does that mean? Well, it means, on a practical level, do I go out of my way when I get in from work, not every day, but as an example, thinking, how can I bless my neighbourhood? What can I do for my neighbours? I'm getting to know them a bit more now. They're into their rugby. What could I do to strike up a conversation, do something to offer to mow their grass, things like that? Am I thinking all the time, treat them how I would like to be treated? So as well as I would treat Sally, for example, the one that's dearest to you, he's also saying, love your neighbour as you love yourself. And that's much more uncomfortable than just saying, right, going in your house. Okay, and this is talking about your neighbours that live next to you. I'm talking about life, people that you mix with all the time. Are you looking around thinking that person could do with a hand, but actually, I can't be bothered, I'm too busy, I've got to go and do this, I'm going to play golf, I'm not going to do that. Or are we thinking, actually I'm going to love that person as much as I love myself? Which means, do I serve my own selfish desires, or do I say, I'm not going to on this occasion because somebody else could do that? And it doesn't matter whether they're a Christian or not a Christian, it is a heart. God is saying, love the neighbour as yourself. And there's a passion there that God wants you to really have. And that only comes from him, but it is a way of thinking. And it's not about how you walk in different situations. It is about a way of life that is thinking, do I put others first? Do I genuinely do what I want and everything else fits around that? Or do I do what I want, but as I go, I am available. If things change, things change. I go and help. I go and serve. And another way of helping that happen is actually, if you need serving, if you need help, is to phone people up and say, would you mind coming and helping me do this? And it's a simple way of doing it, but it actually builds community. And we've spoken before, and we'll come on to it in a minute, about, you know, God will know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. Well, do you love one another? By acts of service is one way that we do that. And that is where we've had a lot of conversations with people, with meals, if people have babies or been ill, and meal rotas have come in. Well, why are you doing that? That's really good. Well, because we're loving one another. We're serving one another. And it's a way that we can encourage each other to love one another. Okay, so I'm going to speak specifically now about in Grace Church terms, okay, for us. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And why I find it helpful for me is the amount of times I have the thing in my mind of, this is out of church and this is in church or with church people. And since we've been in Bromsgrove, there's been a real shift in my thinking. There's a lot of churches think like that. Hence why I'm talking about, when I wanted to speak this, I could say, we're doing this and we're going to go and do that and we're going to do this and we're going to do whatever in Sanders Park. We're going to go and offer to pray for people and do things like, which is not saying we're not going to do that. But actually, it's not about that. It's a heart thing that God is after. It's by the way you love one another. And then we had a word when we first planted as a church that said, through your, and this is paraphrased after a few years, through your food and drink and enjoyment together, people will meet Jesus. Now that fits in totally with the Bible, which is a good start, because you are Jesus to those people. But also, it's not a hard thing to do. Through food, enjoyment, doing good things, people will see Jesus, and then you can just talk. And that's all it is. It's not a big thing. We're not here to save the world in that sense, because only God can do that. We are here just to share the story that we have and how God has affected our lives, because then God does the rest. It's not us. We just have a story to tell, and God wants us to share that. So I said here as well, I've gone back over the meals for people and things like that. People are affected by actions. What is that action from? It's from a place of love and a community that puts others first. I always remember, I've said this before, Pam coming through rush hour traffic when we had our first child, Matthew. And I was sat playing on the Xbox, Sally was chilling in the kitchen, baby was asleep, and Pam's there having 25 kids at home. And with a meal hot, ready to eat, I was like, thank you very much. Just walked to the kitchen, put it down, and started to eat. I thought, that is sacrifice, because I'd love to have been inside your head right there. No, I'm sure it was fine. But that kind of thing, you know, it is uncomfortable sometimes, but it is important to be that way. So, I've nearly come to the end, because this is, and Moz touched on it earlier, the simplicity of what the gospel changes lives is. Loving God, loving others. I can't tell you how to love. I can't tell you how to demonstrate what actions will suit you, because love is a personal thing. How you love God is between you and God. How you represent that to others. There's many love languages, and there's books on love languages, how people express their love for each other. Well, that's the beauty of having such a variety of people in God's manifold wisdom, multicoloured wisdom, as Paul spoke about a while back. It's just so many different angles to him and his character, which is why we're all here, because God brings us together, young, old. So we've got to love each other. So we should love God. We should love those in relationship with Jesus. We should love those who don't yet know Jesus. We should love people. And I like that phrase. We should love people, because there isn't a separation. But when we're in here, when people look at the church, they will know that we are his disciples. By the way, we love one another. If we don't love one another, then how can God be a God of love if this is the place where he dwells and rests? Because it doesn't represent who he is. So we need to get into God and say, oh, God, I want that love. And what we've heard today during the worship is back that up. He wants to love us. He wants to embrace us, accept us, draw into himself. But, and there is a but, after all that, there are things we can do as a positive step to encourage us to meet people, be in the community, and take Jesus to people. And this is where my box will come in handy in a minute. Okay. The first step is the reality of what I spoke about earlier, which was we are Jesus to the people we meet. Therefore, we need to be in tune with Jesus, talking to Jesus, saying, what are you like? Look at the Bible. Okay, look at Jesus. Look how he walked. Look at his character. How do you reflect that man? Where did he go? Who did he speak to? Who did he mix with? All of those things. If you read about Jesus and see how many varieties of people that he actually went to, and he went to them, and where he sat, people then gathered. So there's a lot of movement on his behalf. Again, as a people of God, it is a sense of go. And we need to go. But have a look at Jesus. Read about him. Think about it. Who he was, who he mixed with, where he went. And this is what we should be doing as followers of Jesus. What can we do to facilitate these relationships and build a sense of community and loving one another? Now, this is one of the things that is always quite difficult in a church, is how do you maintain that sense of corporate togetherness, especially as you get bigger, because you won't know everybody. You won't walk in a room and think, I know all of those people. If I do something, I'll get everybody along, because you won't be able to do that because things get bigger. So what can we do? And I've got a few suggestions and ideas. And then hopefully you will too. So things we can do together. I'll put here, as a Grace Church head office, there's a few things that we put out each year that just run because they've been going regularly. And I don't like the head office expression, but I don't want to say Grace Church puts on, people put these things on, and that is the point. You do, we do. Okay, we do the But We Had To parties, which are many different things. We've got a barbecue we do. We've got an Easter egg hunt that we do. There will be a pub quiz in autumn. We had a barn dance not many weeks ago. Christmas service in that sense. So there's things that we do at the moment. But But they're like a diaried event. Now, if we are going to grow and if we're going to be dynamic, we can't keep waiting for these events to happen each time before we build. And there's a church down on the south coast that my parents have a relationship with and know quite well. And I was talking to one of the guys there, and he's an older gentleman who found it hard to actually just be sociable. And so their whole emphasis now as a bigger church is they can't do big church events. I think they're over 1,000, maybe 2,000 people. So to do one event now isn't a sustainable model to get everybody together. So what they're doing, they have effective life groups, mission groups that will meet a couple of times a month. And then once a month they will do an activity with a wider group of friends. And that's the way they run. And they're seeing loads of people come to Mix and ask questions about who Jesus is, just because their mentality is actually, we can now do this and we can take Jesus to people. It's not up to the vicar or the person at the front to go and do that. I can do it. And it's released a lot of people to do things that maybe they wouldn't have been comfortable to do. So if you say to me, we need a big event, Ben, to gather people together, I don't believe that's a sustainable model for a church to grow. You need more people to be active and more people to be leading things. And that's the way that hopefully we're going to go. So there's two things you can do. And there's plenty of ways we can talk about work in the community as well. There's people whose jobs and voluntary work, I was talking to someone today, who serve people in the community in different ways. So when you're thinking about Grace Church as a whole, you think, well, where are we serving in this area? Come and ask the question. And if we know of somebody that is, and it doesn't have to be because Grace Church is doing it, it could be their paid work, which is radical, but it could be their paid work is where they're serving God at best. And we can point you, go and talk to them, see how you can serve them. So it doesn't always have to be a church-led thing. The local community would be the best way for us to go and serve what is already happening and setting up our own thing alongside something if it's already there and working. Let's go and serve those around us, the guys that go out on a Friday night, which are a group of local churches, and serving that way and serving the people that come out the clubs and nightclubs. That's something we support and people from Grace Church are doing. Steve does a lot with drug rehab and classes and things that are setting up amazing stuff around this area. Moving into Droitwich now, doing stuff there. I know he's been after me to fill out a volunteer form, which I now feel very guilty that I've had that for a few months, to say the least. It's probably near a year, but things like that, where we can get involved as a church, and this is what this has come to me, thinking about this, things that are already happening, we can get involved with, and it may be funding as well, for local events or things that want to come on and serve the community. As Grace Church, we could say, well, actually, we can help fund that and make that happen. And there's things like that that we can think of, so it's being creative in that. Which comes on to the box. Now, as if you agree, can you put a pound in? No. I'm going to put a box over there at the end. And I've got paper and one pen, but if you've got your own pen. And what I'd like is to take the onus off a certain few people to create things that we do to build community or to serve community. Is to give you the opportunity to come and write on there. If you could choose something to do and you knew you would not fail, and that's a quote that I really like, what would you do? And I've asked that before, but I'm given the opportunity to actually write that down today, and I'd like to write down what would be your ideal way of serving the community or seeing God come. Come and write it down, put your name on the bottom, put it in the box, and I will go through those, and with every single person that puts one in there, I'll arrange a time to come and speak with you, and we will talk about, as Grace Church, how we can support that and enable that to happen to the best of our ability. It may be money, it may be people, it may be prayer, any of those. But this is a practical thing now. If we're going to move forward, a bored Christian is a dangerous thing, because you just get disheartened and then you start to grumble. And then things come up that you actually think, I don't like this and I don't like that, because you've got nothing to do. Well, this is an opportunity now to actually say, this is where I want to serve. And I am saying, I will come and talk with you how we could potentially make that happen. And then you can say, well, actually, I'm part of doing something that I really want to do. And you're not alone in this. This is what we should be doing as a group, as a body, serving each other in this way. So that will be over there at the end. And the other thing I was going to say was getting into local community. There's people here in the cricket club. Again, football on a Sunday night has got a group of lads together and they're playing football. I'm in a hockey club. Paul's got one of those astrology in me. Which one is it? Astronomy clubs, that's the one. That's important to get that right, but I never do. That he's managed to come in with a group of friends and set that up. It's something he loves doing, and now they've got a wide pool of people that go and look at stars, which is fun. And I'm with the football option, but the thing is, with that, what I've put a note here is actually there might be people here that can't afford to join a club because they haven't got the money to pay for that. Now, again, if that is you, and I know it can be quite humbling to say that, but I would like you to write on that because Grace Church can help with that. That is much of mission and serving you as it is to actually put something. Oh, I'd much rather you did that every week, made a network of friends and were just able to serve in that way. So if you haven't got the money to join a club that you'd like to do, I'm suggesting probably David Lloyd, you'd have to have a pretty mighty backup word from God for that to get through. But certainly try it if you want. No. But anything like that, you see, this is where we start thinking for myself, what can I do to activate my life to serve God and to move and take Jesus to where I go? And the saying again is, do what you love and change the world while you do it. It is simple. So pick something you love. If something is stopping you doing that, write it down. Let's talk about it. Let's make dreams a reality. The church, unfortunately, has a lot of people that had a dream. I had a dream. But I had it, and that was it. Well, God's about awakening a dream in us at the moment, I believe that. He wants to do something where he has made himself known to those around us and to us, some of us that have been dormant. God wants to wake up and say, do you remember me and this power? Here's my spirit. Now go and make us alive to him. So to finish, I'm going to put the box over there. I do ask you to think about that. I might put it out next week as well. In fact, there's no reason why not to leave it there. And as things come to you, you might think. Another thing, going abroad, if you want to serve abroad or go to do a trip abroad to serve any kind of community that you've heard of. We've been to Uganda, got friends in Japan, Turkey, places like that. Then put that in. Because again, money is an obstacle. And I'm not saying everyone can go anywhere. I've long felt Barbados has been a place that I should be going. No. So put it in there because these are all dreams. God wants to stir it up. And actually we talk about it and then nothing happens. Well, this is a way of saying, well, let's talk about this. And it may be, well, let's look at this in a year's time, realistically. And let's come back to it. But let's keep these dreams alive because Christianity is not something that is dead. Following Jesus is not a mundane task. It is about a purpose, which is seeing him glorified and us serving him and being fulfilled in loving him and being loved by him. So as much as I've said all that, it is too simple. You love God, you love people. That is a church that is on a mission. And I'm not going to dress that up anymore, even though I'd like to. But that is the reality. Remember that? Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Love people, love one another. Is it simple? Yes. Is it too simple? Probably. Is it difficult? Yes. Simple and difficult. But there's no quick fix. Events don't solve mission. It doesn't work like that. Love is what mission is. Let's be a people of love. Love of people here. Love people we mix with. Love people we meet. I'd just like to finish with something I mentioned briefly last week. Said this when I was praying with Steve about the barren time, sort of a 7 years of harvest when you look at the Old Testament story of Joseph. 7 years of harvest and 7 years of famine. I really felt that it was the other way around when I was praying with Steve. And as I went into that more, I feel that we've had a lot of years of sowing. But there is a sense of prophetic words that are coming, people saying they're hearing from God and feeling that this is a time when God's going to water. That's what Tina brought last week. God's going to pour water on. And to fit in with the sowing analogy, you couldn't be more hand in hand. You're sowing, and then the water comes, things shoot and grow. And so I want to raise your faith and expectation that as we mobilise, to coin another New Frontiers phrase, and this is a catalyst for another New Frontiers phrase, then this church will flourish. But it's not about this church, it's about Jesus. Jesus will be known, and that is what this is about. We should reflect Jesus. And that's the exciting thing. This is what that will achieve. Age is irrelevant. Jesus is the reason we do what we do. Jesus is the reason that we love him, because he first loved us. And it's all about love. If you don't feel love, then you need to sort that out with people. If you feel angst towards people, or people are frustrated you or upset you, you need to put that right. Because it says in the Bible, but because we want to be a people that are genuinely a people of love and move forward and see God move with us and on us and through us and his Spirit's power at work. So I'd like to pray to finish. I'm going to put my box over there. We've got a bit of time just to be community, have a chat, have a drink, have a biscuit. No, sorry. Yes, no thanks. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. So I'm going to ask you to stand, but only, and this is, I guess, the key, and I won't be upset if it's just me standing up, because it wouldn't be the first, no. But I want you to stand if you're saying, actually, God, use that as your picture, if you like. I want to walk into something that you have for me, and I want to feel a burden, a desire for something that sets me apart to serve you. Because it is, starts with you actually saying that to God. Because it might be, I haven't got anything yet to say, I want to write down. But ask God for that. And then he will mobilize. He will bring about a spirit. He will bring things in that will stir. You might see something on the news. You might see something in the paper or talking to somebody. It suddenly triggers something off. It might be a country. Bang. Never thought about that country. Go home. You hear something else. Think, I'd quite like to go to that country and serve those people in whatever way we can. Okay, but my question then is, do you want a dream that God can fulfill? And if you have a dream that you'd like to awaken, then please stand now and I will ask that God will come and stir that in us by his Spirit. So if you want to do that, please stand. Father, thank you that you are a God of love and that you've chosen us because you loved us and because you love us and you will never not love us. And we can be safe in that, we can be secure in that. And Father, I pray for each one of us now. Lord, I pray that as we stand together, Lord, those of us that have had dreams, those of us that want dreams, Father, I pray now, would you bring about a real securing in our hearts, Lord, our hearts, that you are a God of purpose. And Lord, where we found it difficult to believe at times before, would you bring about faith in us as a people, Lord, as we serve you, as we move forward with you, Lord, we want your authority. Lord, you've given us that to go and speak and to see your power move, see your Spirit work. I pray now, Holy Spirit, would you give us dreams? Would you reignite old dreams that have died and just felt too hard? And would you make us a people that desire to see you lifted high, desire to see each of us serving you to the fullness of our ability, Lord. That's what we want. We want to serve each other well in following you. And we only want to do this to see you glorified, Jesus. And I ask that for your glory.